Well, brethren, do you feel the Christmas spirit out there? You see all the decorations on the neighbors' houses, and you hear all the Christmas carols, traditional Christmas carols, when you go into the stores. You can't really avoid it, can you? And it starts earlier every year, doesn't it? Our neighbors across the street really started early this year because they started last Sunday when it was raining. They went out and they put up all these large, lighted, huge wreaths all in the windows of their house. And then the main window in the living room across there has all a huge Christmas tree. And so it was fully lit up by last Sunday evening. Now, the next thing you know is going to probably happen is comes the tall, inflated Santa Claus, the big plastic reindeer. And those are really puffed and big until evening when they turn off the air pump and they collapse to the front lawn. So that's what we have. Well, I believe that one of the main reasons why so many people spend so much time and money and energy decorating, partying for this man-made holiday is because they really don't have anything else to look forward to in this dreary life we live in. I mean, I'm saying this troubled world that we live in. And so when you think about it, they have to begin early to do something if they're going to have any kind of joy out of this holiday, because joy and holiday does not last. Christmas holiday does not last. In fact, there's often a letdown afterwards where people have a problem. Speaking of money, for how much people spend on these holidays, we know that people have trouble paying off what they loan or what they use for these holidays, for gifts, things. And churches suffer financially during this period too. Total spending, according to the National Retail Federation website, spending they estimate for the winter holidays 2013 to 2014, estimated at $600 billion. And even Halloween was estimated at $7.4 billion for Halloween. And they itemized all those things, and I think it was $350 million just to do their costumes for the animals and pets. So it's very important to them to observe these special days, man-made days, because that's all they have. For the first 10 years of our marriage, before we knew the truth, my wife and I would join my family for a meal. We lived in Southern California. We would have a meal and enjoy these holidays. Well, as it happened, we didn't have too much to do with who was going to do what, but my parents started off with Easter. They did the Easter, and we would go over there for every Easter. We lived fairly close. And Paula and I ended up with Thanksgiving, which was a real blessing because we could still do that if we were out there and everybody was living. And then my sister and her family, who lived over in the valley, they ended up with Christmas. And so they had the children, and so that was an ideal place to go with a Christmas tree and gifts under that for Christmas. So until we came into the church, we would actually go to my sister's home, exchange gifts, and have a meal together on Christmas Day. But as we were learning the truth, we began to see the whole thing a little differently, and we had a different feeling about this spirit of Christmas. Because when it came time to open the gifts, there would be this flurry of tearing the paper and the kids all excited about these gifts. But there'd be some hugs that they thank you, mom or dad or somebody. But then after a few minutes or maybe an hour or so, you had this feeling that it was over. All of the enthusiasm and the whole period, this spirit was beginning to go down. And so you had this feeling that it was a spirit of, is that it? Is that all I get? Well, what did you get? Well, I only got this. Again, part of the spirit of Christmas seemed to have a letdown afterwards. When I worked at Georgia Tech, the four secretaries in our department went to the boss, the manager there, and they asked him if they could spend their own money and buy a small Christmas tree and a few decorations and put them in the office just to pick up the Christmas spirit. And he said, well, if you want to do that, okay. And then what happened was, after that first year, all the rules changed with this manager. And he said, You could not bring out the decorations until the week before the break, the winter break. Only during that time can you do this. And then the next thing is, he insisted that they put all of these things back in the boxes, out of sight, and put them back in that storage space before they could go on the winter break. Then he confided in me afterwards, since I was his assistant manager. He said, to tell you the truth, Bill, the first year I let him put up all that stuff, I came in a little bit early after New Year's. Came in a little bit earlier than everyone else, because I think it was a day early and most people weren't in there. And he said, I saw all those decorations and I was so depressed that whole day just seeing that stuff after it was all over. He said, I swore that I would never do it again and never let them do that again. Put it away. And that is a feeling maybe some of us has had. It was enthusiastic before to see all these things and it was fun, but when you came back, if you didn't take them down before you came back into your office, it got kind of depressing because everything was over and it can't come back. You don't have any lasting future about this sort of thing. Speaking of Christmas spirit, I remember one time when I was a boy, someone gave my parents a gift, a Christmas gift, and what it was like a book for addresses. But there were some narrow columns in the right-hand margin, several of those, and what they were just big enough for a check mark. And the idea was you would send a card to somebody and check the mark, and then you'd see if they sent you one in return, and you'd check if they did. And so what it meant was, what? No check marks from them for 2 years? They're off my list. So that was the Christmas spirit to me. That's the way it worked. Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong used to talk about the two ways of life, a way of give and a way of get. Well, I guess that can apply to our attitude for Christmas gifts and also for Christmas cards if we want to. I've titled this split sermon, The Christmas Spirit is Not of God. The Christmas Spirit is Not of God. In the time remaining, I want to review three ways that man's holiday of Christmas differs from God's holy days, his true holy days. Point number one, the holiday of Christmas is built on false premises. It's built on false premises. It's not in the Bible. The holiday of Christmas built on false premises. Nowhere in the Bible are we told to celebrate the birthday of Jesus or anyone else for that matter. The Bible doesn't tell us the date of his birth, but it's clear that it wasn't anywhere near December 25th. There were shepherds in the fields, it tells us in Luke chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. Luke chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. Shepherds in the field. And a census was being taken in that same area. It was told that you must come back and register and go through a census. And that was in Bethlehem for Joseph from his line. And you can read about that in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Luke chapter 2, 1 through 4. Now, neither of these things would have been happening during the cold, rainy month of December. A lot of people don't pay attention to that, but we all have studied things like this. And it shows that it couldn't have been at that time on the 25th of December. I've even seen some photos of that area where it was snow on the ground. So it's not a place where you have your sheep out there. So it leads to the question, so why do we keep December 25th for Christmas? Well, the answer, it was based on midwinter festivals to pagan gods. Festivals in existence 2,000 years before Christ's birth. Though the late December was an important pagan holiday to the Greeks, called Bacchanalia, to the Romans, Saturnalia, sometimes with human sacrifice, and the Persian cult of Mithra, which became the official religion of Rome in AD 274, the first time that this holiday was celebrated as Christmas was about 300 years after Christ's 300 years later. It was also a celebration among the Druid and Germanic tribes, who were allowed to continue their pagan rebirth and fertility customs, including evergreen trees and mistletoe, even after being converted to the popular version of Christianity at that time. So Christ did not teach it. He couldn't have taught it. It came many years before he was even born, and he never did. So these wild and popular celebrations, full of debauchery, were still going on even after the church in Rome was formed. However, the church could not suppress these things that were going on with the pagans. So in the 4th century, the church decreed that December 25th was to be observed as the birthday of Christ. The church decided that, no one else. In effect, they pasted the name of Christmas, the Mass of Christ, onto the pre-Christian pagan Midwestern festival and put his name right on that. Along with this pagan festival came the Christmas tree, the Yule log, mistletoe, Santa Claus, and other traditions that are part of Christmas celebrations today and have nothing to do with his birth. You can read more about these origins, as you know, of Christmas from church's literature, but also you can go online or read some books at the library about this. It goes on and on. So the Christmas holiday is built on false premises and pagan practices. On the other hand, God's holy days are based on truth from the Word of God, as revealed in the Old and the New Testaments. These are the days of Christ and his apostles, where they followed the early Christian church and they kept these days. This was before and after Jesus was resurrected that they did this. These days are still holy to God. He didn't change them. They're traditions of men, not his days. His days are not traditions of men, and there is no syncretism. That's the mixing of pagan practices with the truth. God tells us that his holy days are feasts, the feasts of the Lord, which shall proclaim to be holy convocations, that we are to proclaim that. In Leviticus 23, let's go there. He tells us about his versions of celebrations. In Leviticus 23, we'll read verses 1 through 5. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, the feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts." Capital M. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. These are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocations which you shall proclaim at their appointed times. On the 14th day of the first month at twilight is the Lord's Passover. So then he begins to name the seven holy days. God is the only one who can make anything holy. God places these particular days at a higher plane than humanly devised celebrations with all their false premises. Does it make a difference if we keep Christmas? No, doesn't make any difference unless there is an almighty God. And there is a great almighty God. Point number two, the holiday of Christmas does not honor Christ. The holiday of Christmas does not honor Christ. Let's take a look at that, and what he says in Deuteronomy chapter 12. Deuteronomy chapter 12. We'll read verses 29 through 32. Deuteronomy 12:29, when the Lord your God cuts off from before you the nations which you go to dispossess, and you displace them and dwell in their land, take heed to yourself that you are not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed from before you, and that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, well, how did these nations serve their gods? I also will do likewise. You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way. For every abomination to the Lord which he hates, they have done to their gods. For they burn even their sons and daughters in the fire to their gods. Whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it, nor take away from it. So God says very plainly, regardless of all these people that keep these things, that it's not pleasing to him. He says in his instruction booklet, he will not accept that kind of worship, even though it's intended in his honor. God says plainly in his instruction book, no, no, not that way. Just Jesus said plainly instead, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. John 4:24. And what is truth? Jesus tells us what is truth. Jesus said, God's word, that is the Holy Bible, God's word is truth. John 17:17. The Bible says God will not accept worship when people take pagan customs and practices and use that as a manner of worship and try to honor Christ. He calls this an abomination. Yet if you were to try to get the attention of people out there shopping today who believe in Christmas and show them the facts that we know, the fallacies of this holiday, would they change their minds and give up Christmas? I doubt it. Because they might say, some people have to me, well, yeah, I know he wasn't born on that day, but so what? It's all the fun. How many of us made this mistake when we first were learning the truth and tried to convince our family or friends about Christmas or Easter? Made a big difference to us, didn't make a big difference to them in many cases. Someone might say, like one said to us, well, I like it because of that spirit of that day. The spirit of the day. I agree there is a spirit to Christmas, a spirit of get, competition, a spirit of spending and forced giving. For many, there is a spirit of partying and debauchery. And sadly for some, there is a spirit of loneliness and despair. Just this past week in our local paper there in Peachtree City, there was an article in the newspaper on the health section dealing with stress at Christmas time. The title was, Happy Holidays, Right? And it said, not always. Manage the blues with these tips. The article said, 'Tis the season to be jolly. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Everyone is happy at this time, right? No, wrong. In reality, many people feel sad, anxious, and depressed during this holiday season, is what it said. Then it went on to admit that many people are stressed out with this holiday. Many feel blue or suffer more extreme feelings of anxiety and depression. It goes on to mention financial burdens. Many end up spending beyond their means and are faced with paying the overwhelming bills after the holidays. And the article ends with a list of tips from this psychologist to deal with these problems. They even have a name for it. It's called Seasonal Affective Disorder, or SAD, SAD. And that makes a lot of people sad. For those who try to keep Christmas in a religious way, there's a spirit of false hope and peace and of change in the world. These religious people who keep Christmas may believe in Christ. They may go to church and read their Bibles and keep Christmas because they sincerely believe they're doing that in honoring Christ. But along with the Christmas spirit, there is a great deception. It's almost as if the God of this world is saying, if I can just keep people excited about these phony holidays of mine, then maybe they won't be interested in learning about God's true holy days. Because the two just don't mix. In one way, the Christmas spirit is created each year, not to honor Christ, but to sell a lot of merchandise. Like all of Satan's delusions, it's made to look good, have a good appearance, like an angel of light. As I mentioned earlier, billions of dollars are spent on this merchandising spree every year. While people go further in debt, the churches suffer some shortages during this time. So keeping Christmas does not honor God. On the other hand, keeping God's holy days does honor Christ. We honor God by keeping holy those things that He has made holy. And only God can make things holy, as I mentioned earlier. So when we observe God's holy days, we are obeying and honoring Christ. These are commanded feast days for our benefit so that we can grow and be equipped to serve God in the future. Point number three, the holiday of Christmas has no lasting message of hope for the future. The holiday of Christmas has no lasting message of hope for the future. When I grew up in the Protestant church, there was a scripture that they read every year at Christmas time. It was from the pulpit, it was in the Sunday school class, and I'll never forget it. It was often printed on Christmas cards, and I think it is today, the materials. Its scripture is Luke chapter 2, verse 14. Luke chapter 2 and 14. It says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." After coming into the church of God, I learned that there was a better translation for the tail end of this. It should say at the end, the verse, "to men of goodwill." And it's noted in the margin, center margin of my New King James Bible. But originally, I was taught that this scripture, it was a message of hope in keeping Christmas. They said basically that if we had a giving attitude, that keeping this would end up in a better world. In other words, if enough people would give glory to God someday through man's effort, with all the churches and missionaries around the world, things would just improve automatically because we're keeping Christmas. More people would be saved, and there would be peace on earth and goodwill toward men. And this seemed at the time like a good thing to do, and that would happen in the future. I had hopes for that. I was a boy going to church. But as I started to grow up, I heard this scripture year after year, but I started to doubt this idea of a hope with this particular thing of Christmas, because nearly everybody was keeping Christmas every year, and they were quoting this scripture, but all I saw was another war, more serious problems here and there, more ungodliness in the world, decreasing evidence of peace and goodwill. So the holiday of Christmas doesn't lead to true hope as God's plan does. This is not to say that we don't think that the birth of Jesus was a great event, a sacred event that's important and part of God's plan. But the Father didn't choose to make it a world holiday, which became kind of a distraction from the meaning of His life and His death for all of mankind. On the other hand, keeping of God's holy days lays out the plan of God, which is all about repentance and hope for the future. After all, God is offering us eternal life. Now, we know that there are some good and sincere people out there who admit that there are some negative aspects of Christmas that shouldn't be there. And so what they do is advocate a campaign of put Christ back in Christmas. And that sounds like a good thing to do. My parents, I think, thought that way when they saw things that they didn't like about Christmas, the physical things, they thought it should be more toward Christ. But they couldn't do it because Christ was never in Christmas. There's not a mix there. It doesn't work. How many people look at the present world that we have to offer? That's what Satan has to offer, the present world. How many people look for the man-made holidays with glitter and traditions, but they fail to see what God actually has to offer? Hope for the future. True hope for the future. Let's turn now to the final scripture, 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. These are the things that we're going to get from following God's way. Peter chapter 1, we're going to read beginning at verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance or patience, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the message of hope in keeping God's days that it's missing from Christmas. The annual cycle of celebrating the festivals of holy days reminds us that he is working out a plan of extending salvation from sin and death and offering the gift of eternal life in the family of God to all humanity, present, past, and future. In fact, the word hope is in the church's booklet on this subject. God's holy day plan, the promise of hope for all mankind. So, brethren, if we can see that the spirit of Christmas is not of God and will not last, yet God's holy days, which we look forward to, will last. Everyone will be worshiping together in spirit and in truth in the future.